Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you tonight. We invite you. We ask you, Holy Spirit, come and visit us tonight. We welcome you into this room. Just as you visited Abraham, Lord, we're asking that you'd visit us. Whatever is happening in our lives, whatever is happening in our hearts tonight, whether we're sad or mad or whatever, or feeling great, Lord, we pray you'd visit us, each one of us tonight. Just as you surprised Abraham, come and visit us. We long for a touch from you. All of us, Lord, we were made for a connection with you, for intimacy with you. We're asking, visit us tonight. Pray you heal hearts tonight. Even our adults, our loving adults in this room, we ask you, visit them. Touch them. Lord, in the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. A couple of months ago, I was at a supermarket, local supermarket. I lived near Princeton. And I was standing there in the checkout counter, you know, the little conveyor belt thing. And I was like, there was someone in front of me, so I was kind of thinking about my life a little bit. And I started getting a little bit anxious. My thoughts were a bit anxious, you know, if you can relate to that. And I was thinking about, I remember God speaking to me in 1999, this is 10 years ago, right? I remember God speaking to me at a retreat, and I felt like I saw this image in my mind of young people in an auditorium. There's this big auditorium. They were leading worship in the front, and I just felt like God was sort of giving me a promise or saying, you know, there's going to come a time when these young people, they're going to really know me, not just because their parents take me to church or take you to church or whatever, but that they would really know God, be like a youth church, you know, be like, so just lots of kids really know Jesus. And I still don't feel like it's really been completely fulfilled, you know, and I've done a lot of different ministry and stuff. And so I get a little bit, you know, kind of disappointed, kind of getting bummed out, you know. Standing there thinking, you know, it's better just, you know, when you have a promise that doesn't get fulfilled right away, it's better maybe, you know, just to quit. You feel kind of stupid, you know, holding on to it. It's like, maybe I should just move on, you know, maybe it's not that important. So I was standing there with all these thoughts about me, right? Self-absorbed. And the checkout counter lady, you know, she noticed that I put ground beef, onions, tomato, and a taco kit. You guys know what a taco kit is? The little box? One guy's like, yeah.
Yeah!
That's like me. And so she looks up at me and she goes, you having tacos tonight? And I'm thinking like, whoa, I was really surprised. So I'm like trying to get out of my self-absorption. I'm trying to like, you know, think in reality here. And I'm thinking like, you know, those employee manuals must tell this person, like, do not, you know, make observations about what the customer is buying and talk to them about it, you know? Because it's like, whoa, you know? But I felt fine. So, you know, I got to myself and I said, yeah, it's taco night tonight, you know? So I was kind of playing along, you know? And she shoots back. She goes, oh, I love tacos. Can I come? What time is dinner? And she's really kind of funny. She says it in a really deadpan way. Do you know people like that? You have friends like that? She's like, what time's dinner? I love tacos. You know? More like that tone. I answered, 6 p.m. You know? I said, and my wife is a good cook. So I just want her to know, you know, in this imaginary scenario even, there's going to be a buffer, dinner for three, you know? Just want to make sure, you know, things are good boundaries. It's going to be something we're going to be talking about tomorrow, you know? So she shoots back, oh, good, I get out at 5 p.m. Again, in her kind of funny way, right? And then I chuckled, because I didn't know what else to say at that point, right? But then I started thinking, hey, why not? Right, why not? Now, why not have her over? It would actually be great. You know, I'm trying to picture it in my mind, my dining room, right? Three people. And I'm thinking, you know, it would be fun. My wife would like it, you know, enjoy this, you know? I'm thinking, besides, you know, Jesus is into stuff like this. Strangers, love, you know? It's kind of consistent. But by the time I had made up my mind, thinking, okay, I'm going to invite her, I found myself, I had the receipt in my hand, I was pushing the shopping cart towards the exit, and I looked back and she was already helping somebody else. And I left. In our passage today, that was well, so well read, Abraham is still waiting on a promise. And unlike my utter failure to love people sometimes and welcome people, Abraham, he receives this unexpected visitor and shows this person generous hospitality. What we're going to be talking about today is even in the midst of pain, you know, some of you have been in the church for a long time, some of you might be completely new, but even in the midst of pain, what the text is teaching us tonight is keep believing. Keep serving God. Do it with a good attitude. Keep believing. And welcome God into your heart. Because this isn't just a message for, you know, maybe you've never heard the gospel. No, we're talking about tonight. Because so many believers, you know, as the years go by, we get offended in our hearts. Maybe we wanted something to happen, didn't happen exactly the way we wanted it to happen. You know, we think this is a promise God told me. But it didn't happen. But the text is going to teach us, even when it's impossible, humanly impossible, keep believing what God has promised you. But why? Why keep believing? In particularly challenging circumstances, why do it? It's because in life you're going to find, and you guys already know, some of you are already going through some hard things, difficult things, that sometimes God allows certain situations in your life to provoke or bring out of you greater faith, so that you kind of step up and say, I'm going to believe, even in the situation. It's kind of like the NBA playoffs. Some of you, how many are NBA playoffs, NBA fans, or basketball? One of the strange things that's been happening is there's been a lot of overtime games, right? Triple overtime recently. But see, what happens is, if it's a close game, no matter what sport you play, when it's a close game, you step up, right? If it's a blowout game, if it's like 100-20, you're not going to try. Do you know what I mean? You're not going to step up. But a lot of times, God allows situations in your life where it's really difficult. And so you've got to step up your faith. And so it's an invitation of God for you to kind of grow in your faith. Because God likes faith. God likes when you say, I believe. Even though I have pain in my heart, I have perplexities, I have confusion in my heart, and just kind of sometimes gets bigger and bigger as we get older. It's all kinds of things I don't understand. Why this happened, that happened, whatever. Even in that time, you step up and say, Lord, I believe in you. I'm going to welcome you into my heart. So that's what we're going to be talking about today. Let's take a look at the passage. Everyone knows, or some of us, most of us know a little bit about Abraham, right? So up to this point, a little context. Abraham is called by God to leave this place, right? His homeland. And he's called to go in faith. And God says, look at the stars. And if we stepped outside, we'd see maybe a lot of stars tonight. And God says, look at the stars, Abraham. All the stars you see in the night sky, it's going to be like that many multitude of descendants or people, children, you know, descendants of you. I'm going to bless the whole world through you. What a promise. Right? So it kind of encourages him along the way. The problem is, at this point in the story, he's about 100 years old. His wife is 90. He has zero kids through Sarah. So what's going on here? This is God. This is supposed to be the God who fulfills promises. Is he a promise-keeping God? For many of you, you come to church and you hear, you know, God loves you, God does this, God promises this. But is it true? Is it real when you don't see it right away? That's what Abraham is facing. That's the backdrop. Let's take a look more. Oh, let's read it again a little bit. The Lord appeared to Abraham by the oaks of Mamre as he sat at the entrance of his tent in the heat of the day. So where do we find Abraham? Abraham is by his tent. And even if you go to that area, even now in Palestine, kind of the Arabic area, they have those Bedouins, which are sort of nomadic people, and they have tents over there. And it says, Abraham looked up and saw three men standing near him. So the custom of the day, even if you if we look back at this time, if you stand near someone's tent, it's basically, you're basically saying, give me hospitality. I want to be in your house. I want to, let me into your room. You know, let me into your house. I need some rest. So it's this kind of culturally understood thing. These three men are standing near him. When Abraham sees him, he runs from the tent entrance to meet them and bows down to the ground. How old is Abraham? About 100 years old. How many 100-year-old people do you see hustling down the street? You're like, headband or kind of running. Not that many. Right? Sort of, you know, I'm coming from a Korean culture. They don't move, man. They just go get me the thing, you know? Just kind of sit. You know? Not a whole lot's going on. Not exerting a whole lot of energy at that point. But Abraham is running around. What we're going to see is that these three visitors, the surprise is going to be that they're representatives or it's God himself. It's a little bit unclear. But one thing we know, it's they're messengers of God. And God's going to speak through them. And one of the main points I want you to remember tonight is God pursues you with a fiery love. He is the one who's coming to Abraham. Abraham's just chilling out. He's just sitting there. Abraham has three visitors. Kind of, basically, God comes to his home. God is coming to your home even tonight. Some of you don't know Jesus. Some of you don't know God that well. Some of you have doubts in your mind. God is sort of knocking at your door, saying, "Let me, I want to spend time with you." He has a fiery love. He has a desire, a holy desire, a pure desire and passion for each one of you. And until you know that, it's very difficult to follow God. Until you know that He loves you, the very connection that you desire in life with the opposite gender or your parents or your friends, those are good desires. But ultimately, if you don't have this main pipeline from heaven for love, all those other planets, as you saw, it's going to be totally out of orbit. It's going to be out of whack. Because you're going to be looking for this kind of love from different people. Maybe from a boyfriend, girlfriend, spouse, parents, siblings. I remember, this is kind of a sad story, but when I was a kid, I have two siblings. I have two older siblings that I say that I raised, but I did not. I just say that. But they're much older. They're like 7 or 8 years older than me. And I remember one time we were living in an apartment, and that day I didn't have anyone to play with. So I told my sisters, I said, hey, I'm gonna set up the table, we're gonna play cards, I'm gonna pour orange juice. Yeah. When you're like 6 or 7 years old, man, this is a big deal. This is like a party, you know? So I'm gonna pour some orange juice into these glasses, and I'm gonna set up the table and have the cards ready, maybe a little bit of chocolate chip cookies, you know? And they're like, yeah, whatever, okay, sure, we'll do it, you know? So I set up the table, I might even have little napkins, you know. Three of them, you know. And then it was time. I was ready. The table was set. I go up to my sisters, and they're kind of doing their hair or whatever, doing, you know. And they're like, no, we don't have time to do this anymore. I was devastated. I was like, I'm sitting there drinking the oranges by myself, all three of them eating the cookies. That wasn't that bad. But, you know, it was kind of sad. But there's this desire for connection. Don't you feel that sometimes? You desire, even whether it's from your siblings, you desire just to be close to someone, have a connection with someone. And that connection is what God is offering us, even tonight for you. He's coming to your door. He said, come in. So what is Abraham doing? It's not clear if he totally knows who it is or whatever. He's hustling, right? He's running around. This is Abraham saying to these three strangers, he says, my Lord, if I found favor with you, do not pass by your servant. Let a little water be brought and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree. Let me bring a little bread that you may refresh yourselves and after that you may pass on since you have come to your servant. What's going on? So, again, if you go right now, like tonight, we get on a jet and we go over to that area of the palace and the tents are set up and these are nomadic people. If you go up to your tent, they'll take you in. In 2009, they'll take you in, no questions asked for 2 days. They'll give you a little coffee, very strong coffee. They'll give you a little something to eat, whatever. Wonderful hospitality, part of your custom, great. You know? And so we all showed up. You know, maybe we'll all get split up into different tents. So they'll take us in. But here's the difference, right? So Abraham sets it up. He sets low expectations. Let me give you a little bread. Just wash your feet, you know, all these little things. And then three people are like, okay, great. Do as you have said. So what does Abraham do? Abraham hastens. What does hasten mean?
Quickly.
Quickly, right? Quickly runs into the tent of Sarah and says, make ready quickly. 3 measures of choice flour. Knead it and make cakes. That is like way more than the average person. That's like, I think it's like 1 measure in the Hebrew. That particular measurement is like 7 quarts flour. This is a lot, you know? One of them. So that's like 21. That's a lot of bread, okay? Abraham runs to the herd, takes a calf, tender and good, and gives it to the servant who hastened to prepare it. Even now over there, that's not part of their regular diet, right? So in the Korean culture, it's like, for us, it's like galbi, right? What is a really great Chinese dish that's like fantastic, and but it takes a little bit of time to prepare? Give me a... It has some kind of meat in it.
Orange chicken.
Yeah. Super exotic. Orange chicken. What else?
Peking duck.
Right? So the difference is, you know, when you go over so a friend comes over your house and, you know, do you usually make Peking duck? You say, hold on, let me get you Peking duck. No. Like, here's a Pop-Tart. You know, enjoy. Okay, take the whole one. Take all of it. You know, that's for you. That's being generous. You know, that's like, this is your private stash of Pop-Tarts, you know? But Abraham, he's getting steak. I mean, how many of your friends, you know, this past week, your friend came over, you're like, here, let's have some steak. I'll make you some steak today. I mean, you know what I mean? That's like extra, going the way, way extra mile. So this is beyond just showing regular hospitality. He's kind of going like, whoo. I told. Then he took curds and milk and the calf that he had prepared and set it before them, and he stood by them under the tree while they ate. Again, milk and curds, those kind of things, it's kind of their understanding, even... In the non-believing God people, it was like food to the gods kind of thing. So it's very nice treatment he's giving them, right? And so does Abraham sit and kind of enjoy the food with them? No. What does he do? He stands up. He's waiting on them, right? It says, and he stood by them under the tree while they ate. So basically, he's, you know, you need more water, you need more milk. You know, he's basically a waiter, 100 years old. If you, again, remember the context. This is a man, he has pain in his heart. God, the God of the universe, as he understands it, promised him a child and many, 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 many children. He has pain. He's 100 years old. He has no child. His pain, his perplexity, his confusion in his heart. God, what is going on? But still, he's running and he's showing this kind of hospitality. You know what I mean? Like, for me, if I get a little paper cut, I'm like, oh my God, oh, I can't go to school today. Oh my goodness. Oh, did you see this? You know what I mean? I'm talking about my pain. Abraham doesn't do that. He could have shut down, right? We could have said, oh, we understand. Oh, we have family problems. Oh, we understand. He doesn't do that. He still steps up. So they're eating, and so they look up at Abraham and ask, where's your wife Sarah? Right? This is kind of a polite way in that culture to ask about someone's wife. Where is she? Abraham says, they're in the tent. Then one said, I will surely return to you in due season, and your wife Sarah shall have a son. What is going on? So he says, well, my wife is just on the other side of the tent. And then we find out, okay, this is really the Lord. This is God who has visited. He says, I will surely return to you in due season, and your wife shall have a son. Now here's the time. So Abraham is sort of, you know, in a sense, tested a little bit. So here's the time for Sarah to shine, right? She, of course, she's supposed to be the mother of, you know, this child who's going to be, you know, bringing on all the descendants and stuff. There's pain in her heart as well, right? So this is a time now for her to shine in her faith, right? Say, I still believe, yes. I believe in the promise that you're telling me right now that I'm going to have a child. But what happens?
Couldn't believe.
Sarah was listening at the entrance behind him. So I'm sure she got, you know, her name was mentioned. So it peaks, you know, say that the most lovely sound is the sound of your own name. You know, you're sleeping. They could be like jackhammers and people like talking. But if they just say your name, you're like, what? You know, there's something about it, you know? So I'm sure she's like, what? You know, talking about me? So she's paying attention. She's by the tent. Obviously, she wants to know what these visitors are talking about. I can best relate to Sarah.
How about you? Thanks.
So the author is giving us a little background. Again, now Abraham and Sarah were old, advanced in age, and had ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. She's beyond her childbearing years, right? Biologically. So Sarah laughs to herself, saying, after I've grown old and my husband is old, shall I have pleasure? She's like, what? These men, did they understand a woman's body? I'm 90 years old. She's laughing and says, whatever. Yeah, these men don't understand. Even if it's God, whatever. You know? Riddled with doubt. The Lord says to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh and say, shall I indeed bear a child now that I am old? Is anything too difficult for the Lord? This is the punchline of this text, right? Said in a positive way, nothing is impossible for God. Some of you, even tonight, you're sitting here, whether you're an adult or you're a youth, you're sitting here and you're thinking, if God's going to do something, this thing that is in my heart, that I feel like has been promised by God, it has to be God. It is not humanly possible for this thing to happen. God is telling us through this messenger, is anything too difficult for God? Another translation says, is anything too wonderful for God? Sarah's like, this is too wonderful. I'm losing hope. It's easier for me to just shut down. The messenger says, at the set time, I will return to you in due season, and Sarah shall have a son. But Sarah denied, saying, I did not laugh, for she was afraid. He says, oh yes, you did laugh. Think about the situation. Why did, you know, if God is God, if God is really the God of the universe, why does he set up this whole scenario? Why couldn't this whole thing be in one sentence? You know, we get to chapter 18, and it says, Sarah had a child. The end. Everyone's happy. No. He sets up this whole situation where Abraham's 100 years old, she's 90 years old, it's humanly impossible, and why don't, at that point, they say, and then Sarah had a child. No, it doesn't say that. It says, three visitors come, and they announce, you're going to have a child, I'm going to come in a year. Why? Let's just edit all that out. Let's just cut that out and throw it out. But there's something about it. If God is God, and he can do it anyway, he's purposely allowing the situation to what? To draw out maximum faith. To help us to kind of step up. It's like the score is tied. It's not a blowout. You have to step. It's like you get called from the bench. It's like, what? It's like the score is tied. You have to exert yourself. And faith is like a muscle. He has a lot of muscles, you know. So you have to work it for it to function. Basically, you have to. Faith is like. And then back in the day, there was this commercial that said, it was a Rolaids commercial. It was kind of like an antacid. And they would say, how do you spell relief? Rolaids. And you spell it Rolaids. This is a back throwback for the adults here. I'm kind of dating myself. And but really, faith is spelled R-I-S-K. What's R-I-S-K? If you're not sweating a little bit, if you're not risking something, it's not faith. And God wants faith. Because you're saying, God, I trust you. I don't see it happening. This is difficult. There's pain in my heart. But still, I believe you're good. I'm going to trust you in the situation. Even if it looks impossible. That's what God desires from us tonight. The thing that I like about the story is that we end right here. There's no resolution. At least the part that we're reading tonight. And I like that. The reason why I like that is because this is where most of us live.
isn't it? Most of us are waiting for something. It's not like, okay, happy ending, you know? There's no resolution. What's resolution? Meaning, there's no the thing that says, and then Sarah has a child. Well, we know later Sarah does have a child. God provides the child of promise. But for most of us, even tonight, you are waiting on something from God. And there's pain in your heart, or there's frustration, or there's perplexity in your mind because of something you felt like God should have done and he didn't do it for you. And in this place, the question is, will you trust God?
Maybe you don't know God. And one of the things maybe that drew you away from a relationship with God was you didn't understand something that happened. And for each of us, it's a little something different, isn't it? Let me give you an example of a couple of friends I have. They struggle with this tension. Maybe you haven't believed in God because of pain in your heart, confusion about the world, or perplexity. What the Bible is telling us today is still believe. Still serve. With a good attitude. You know, Sarah scoffed at God like, huh, that's not going to happen. Right? But God cares. You know, someone said, you know, God grades on attitude. You know, he cares what we say. Not to kind of like, you know, discipline us, like hit us in the butt, you know, like, hey, you know, you should shape up. Not like that. But it's like, hey, I hear your little prayers, your little things that you say. In the same way, when we ask God, help me, I feel really low in faith right now. God, help me. He hears that. At the sound of your voice, he moves. He cares. That's the thing we get from it. Sarah just talks to herself, God, this might not happen. I hear that. Let's all stand. I want to pray for us today. We're going to ask God to remove any offense in our hearts. I know as a teenager, I had different things in my heart that was really difficult. And maybe you do too, and I'm not going to pretend like I know. For all of us, and adults as well. But the Lord is calling us tonight. He's inviting us. He's saying, welcome. You're building a relationship with God. These are the barriers, the stones in your heart that keeps you from a deeper relationship with God. Because there's offense in your heart. But God is coming. He's saying, let's remove that together. Let's close our eyes. I want to give an opportunity first. If you're here tonight and you've never asked Jesus into your life, I want to give you an opportunity to do that tonight. It's fairly simple. If this is you, let's all close our eyes. If this is you, you say, you know what? Yeah, God's knocking on the door of my heart. I sense that. There is a God of the universe. He's inviting you. If you want to start a relationship with God tonight, I want to invite you to say this prayer. You know, prayer is just talking to God, just asking God. If that's you, then you can just repeat this after me, just under your breath, in your heart. You can say it out loud, whatever you'd like. I'm just going to lead you in a short prayer. Say, Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. I'm sorry that I've been running my own life. I've not let you inside my house, the house of my heart. So I've sinned against you. I invite you to be my Lord and Savior. I believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. I put my trust in you. Thank you for forgiveness of my sins. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. And help me to follow you for the rest of my life. In Jesus' name. Just with everyone's eyes closed. If you prayed that prayer, if that's in your heart to do, to welcome God into your life for the first time, go ahead and just raise your hand. That's good. Put your hand down. Jesus, I ask you tonight, even as we continue to pray for the rest of us as well. Lord, we ask you to seal what you've done for those that raised their hands tonight. I'm asking you, Holy Spirit, not just for eternal life then, but now, I ask you, help us, help them to walk with you every day as a best friend. You want to come over to their home. You want to be in their room. You want to go with them to school and after school. Jesus, we thank you. The Bible says that there's rejoicing in heaven over one person that comes to you. We thank you tonight, Lord.